Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to episode 16 of the Today's Knuckleball Fantasy Baseball Podcast, brought to you by FanRag Sports. I am Timothy King. I'll be your host tonight, and joined as always by my good friend and fellow writer over at Today's Knuckleball, Greg Jewett. Greg, what's going on today? How's everything going?
Been a good day. Sun played at the Hall of Fame. His team got the W. We beat the rain, and we're on.
Good, good. Yeah, that's pretty cool. Pretty good day to be a dad, to be a baseball fan, and sound like you had fun. So we've got a lot to talk about tonight. We're going to go big with our fantasy all-stars. We're going to do a pretty big segment on that. Greg and I are going to go back and forth and talk about some of the guys who have impressed us in the fantasy game over the first half here. And we're going to be joined by a couple of the other writers at Today's Knuckleball, a couple of guys who are big into DFS, and they're going to guide us here a little bit on the new scripting announcement that DraftKings made to this service, terms of service. I believe it was today. Maybe correct me if I'm wrong on that. Yesterday. And those guys will get into that a little bit more. So we'll do that around 8. We'll just get right into a couple quick notes here before we get at our all-stars. Steven Matz, it was just came up on Twitter before we went on the air here. Steven Matz is going to be probably going to the DL. He has a lat injury, and that's going to cost him at least a couple of weeks. News just broke a few minutes ago. And, Greg, what do you think that means for the Mets? It's probably a pretty big hit for them. What do you think?
Yeah, I think it means it'll change the way they approach the trade market. Unfortunately. So, you know, it hasn't been confirmed by the Mets beat writer, but the Daily News is reporting that they expect Matz to be out, I think they were saying upwards of 6 weeks, right?
Yeah, I saw bare minimum several weeks, and Sashi Iwakuma just came back Monday from a lat injury, and it kept him out. He's been out since April, so that's a tricky injury for a pitcher, definitely. And I think you're right on. I think, losing Steven Matz is going to definitely change the way the Mets kind of look at themselves moving forward here, depending on how much time he'll miss. So it'll be interesting to see what they do moving forward, and hopefully we can get some confirmation while we're on air here about the injury from the beat writer. So we'll keep an eye out for that. Alex Gordon has a groin strain, a grade 2 groin strain. He was fielding a fly ball last night against in the game against the Tampa Bay Rays, and was going after a ball in left field, and told the trainers after the injury had happened that he heard or felt a pop in his groin, went for an MRI, and it revealed that strain. He's going to be out 8 weeks, so a little longer than George Springer is going to be out. What are you doing with Alex Gordon here, Greg? Unless you have, a DL spot, he's probably droppable in mixed leagues.
Yeah, to say without a DL, he's probably going to go to the. I mean, even if he comes back, it's going to be, I would say, best case scenario, he could get back for maybe a week or two to try and get swings before the Royals got back to the playoffs. But it would take a Herculean effort, and that's just nobody wants to feel a pop in their groin in a bad way. So I'm not too. Definitely going to be looking. If I don't own Gordon anywhere, but if I did, I'd be definitely looking for an immediate pickup.
Yes, and that immediate pickup could be Jerod Dyson, who will step into that role, presumably just about full time for Kansas City. Are you adding Dyson?
I don't know. It feels like Dyson always gets a chance around this time of year, and then the Royals go and get somebody else. I just feel like the Royals. Like him off of the bench, stealing bases and playing like once or twice a week. For some reason, the Royals just don't seem committed to him. So, Dyson will probably obviously play through the All-Star break and maybe the week after, but before the trade deadline, I'd be shocked if the Royals didn't get somebody the beat writer from the Brewers already made the joke that the Royals like former Brewer outfielders, and he put Parra's name out there, who is obviously on the block. So add the Royals to the list of teams that are interested in Gerardo Parra.
Yeah, and Parra would be a very good fill-in for Alex Gordon. So something to monitor there, but that's a really tough blow for the Royals. Alex Gordon was their pretty much their best player, and he's getting on base at a very, very good clip. So it'll be interesting to see what the Royals do now that they're kind of forced into a situation. Greg, want to touch on the Cubs bullpen situation here? Kind of looks like Jason Mott's the man, though.
It's not kind of. It's he's got the last four saves. You know, when I wrote about it in the write up on Tuesday, is the way that Joe Maddon talks about him just makes it sound like that he's this guy. You know, he referenced him to the bulldog mentality and some way that he can rely on to come in the late innings. Even though he's not a high strikeout guy anymore, you know. Possession's 9/10 of the law, and he's got all of the recent saves. Even yesterday in the blown save, Rondon worked the eighth inning, struck out two, and then Strope blew the game in the ninth. So, I mean, as much as I like Rondon coming into the season, I really don't think he's done anything to pitch himself out of the role other than Maddon just is Maddon, and he's hard to predict, and he likes veterans, and he loves reclamation projects. So, chalk up Mott a la Fernando Rodney, a la Rafael Soriano, and other people that Maddon seems to get into those roles. And then don't forget that Soriano is in the minors. And who knows, by August there could be another change in this bullpen. But for right now, you're adding Mott if he's on the wire.
Just was going to say the same thing. If you like reclamation projects, and you've got a nice one there in Rafael Soriano, waiting in the wings. I'm going to be interested to see how they approach that when Soriano's ready to go. And if you look at Mott's last nine appearances, he's got five saves and three wins, just blowing up ESPN's player rating right now. So
He's been off the charts. So, I mean, you know, he's hot, yeah. So you ride the hot hand. So I think it's safe. Unfortunately, I think it's safe to drop Hector Rondon, and you pick up another pitcher, and then if he ever gets his way back in. But at this point, I don't see him closing unless it's for another team.
Agreed. Go grab Jason Mott. Still only owned in just under 25% of ESPN leagues, but that number is going to shoot up in the days coming ahead. A couple notes regarding the Athletics rotation. Scott Kazmir left his start last night with an injury. He said what was the injury, Greg? I don't know. I'm not sure what it was. Was it like an oblique?
They're saying triceps tightness.
Triceps tightness. He said he can make his next start if he had to, so they're going to let him go through the All-Star break. Doesn't look like a DL thing. Kazmir doesn't seem too worried about it. So
yeah,
keep an eye on that.
Kazmir does this all the time. He's done it a couple times this year already where he's left the game in like the third or the fourth inning, and then the next time he comes out and he pitches fine. So, you know, he's got mileage on the arm, and he threw a lot last year, so I think monitoring his innings probably isn't a bad idea. So giving them these little extended breaks probably can't hurt. So to get him, I mean, Kazmir had a huge first half last year, then faded in the second half. And you know Oakland wants to fight that, especially if you're trying to trade him.
That's exactly right. And he's definitely a guy that is going to get traded. He will be getting traded before the deadline. Another guy to look at who's been pitching very well, really for a month and a half now, is Jesse Hahn. He had his scheduled start pushed back a couple of days. He was supposed to go Friday, but that doesn't look like it's going to happen. He's got an elbow. Drew a bullpen session this week, said he felt good. Everything was ready to go with him, and then today it was updated that Hahn had actually been scratched from his start, and now he's going to go get an MRI. So that is not good. I would expect, you know, a DL stint to be coming here, or you know, if the MRI comes back clean, maybe they give him a little bit of an extended rest over the All-Star break, but definitely not encouraging. And, you know, he's been pitching very, very well for Oakland of late. So keep an eye on Jesse Hahn's status as the All-Star break draws near. Greg, Cesar Hernandez is the number three player on ESPN's player rater over the last 2 weeks. And recent news out of Philly is that Hernandez will keep the second base job even when Chase Utley comes back. What do you see out of Hernandez that you like, don't like?
I like his contact rate, and I like the fact that he runs. So, you know, we've spoken before that the player rater really likes guys who steal bases. So, you know, this is something, you know, if you add him in deeper leagues and you took the flyer, it could pay off. I mean, his average has to come down, but, you know, speed guys can maintain a higher BABIP, which will keep their average up. And if he's stealing bases like he has been, then you know that he's somebody I wrote up last week. I can't remember if it was in the Tuesday or the Friday column, but I had him on pre the waiver wire last week as somebody to add, and he's still been paying off and he's still been running. You know, after the Phillies get done facing all that Dodgers pitching, he should get right back to his prominence and running ways.
Yeah, he's been a nice little spark plug, and. You know, he's been very, very good. I wrote about Starlin Castro yesterday, and you know, he's been struggling quite a bit. And you know, if Hernandez is out there on the wire, I'd be fine with dropping Castro for him at the time right now, because you know, you look at kind of what the guy, especially at Midland Field, where you know you're not supposed to get really much anyway production wise. So if you can you know, get something out of that position, it's a big boost to your team. So. I like Hernandez, and I think he, you know, people are taking notice now. He's getting added quite a bit. So up to almost 70% of ESPN. He's got, you know, all middle infield help eligibility there. So go ahead, Hernandez,
yep.
If you need a middle infield plug-in. Greg, I know this is one of your favorite topics, and that's Robinson Cano. He's been hitting pretty well of late. So are you buying back in?
I don't know. I would like to. I mean, he always hit better with the Yankees as the weather got warmer. I'd like to see the ground ball rate come down before I fully bought in. But, you know, Cano could be one of the one of those ultimate second-half gamble guys. If you buy him on the cheap right now and he explodes in the second half, then you're on to something. But it's just that Mariners team is just a weird feel to them. And you see today they just sent down J.A. Happ. They're trying everything they can. They brought Jesus Montero back up. They're doing anything they can to spark that offense. So, I mean, you know, Cano bats third. He's in a good spot in the lineup, and he could have a very nice second half. I don't know. I'm still lukewarm as to adding him, and that could burn me, but I'm still there.
Yeah, I mean, until I see – I think you're right about the ground balls. I mean, we've talked Cano to death on the show, and, you know – I mean, you could do worse than trying to throw a buy low offer at him, but I can guarantee you that whoever owns him, Cano in your league, is noticing that he, you know, has been hitting. He's got 3 homers over his past 12 games, which is pretty big considering he only has 6 on the year. So, definitely some signs of life here, no doubt about that. And you know, it was probable that you know Cano was not going to go through the whole year without doing anything. So. You know, it's nice to see, and hopefully his health ailment is getting better there, or his personal issues. He's dealing with a couple of things pretty much all season, and news recently came out about that. But nice to see, and you know, if you're a gambling man, you could throw a low ball offer out and see if his owner is willing to sell low still while he can. Couple other things. Matt Holliday could be activated from the disabled list tomorrow. That's recent. That's today's news. And then Jake Odorizzi will start tomorrow, I believe. So if you are waiting for Odorizzi back and you've got him on your DL, you can activate him tonight, start him tomorrow. And who's going to lead that rotation, Greg, in Tampa? What do you think, sir? Odorizzi is going to replace?
They'll take Holliday out.
Yeah. What about when they get if they get Smiley back, what do you think goes?
I think by the time Smiley gets back, Moore will be ready to be taken out of the rotation.
Oh, true. Okay.
Moore's not
giving
them any length. Yeah, I don't.
Yeah, no.
I think those are two easy replacements for him. They could put Colomay in the bullpen, but I don't think he has any more options. But that's like you said, you and I have talked about Matt Moore ad nauseum as well. So. Control, I think they would rather see what Smiley can do. They can always put him in the long relief role too.
Do you think they send more down and put him in the bullpen?
I think they would use him in long relief or, you know, as like a lefty matchup guy if they had to.
Yeah, I don't mind Matt Moore for one or two hitters, but having, you know, having him come right off the DL from Tommy John surgery and expecting to get any more than five innings out of him is, you know, a little bit naive, I think, but we shall see.
Oh, yeah.
So here we go. So let's do some All-Stars. You wrote an article for Today's Knuckleball this past week about how we should look at WRC Plus as the metric for voting for our All-Stars, and I completely agree. That'd be great, considering what we've seen out of that this year, and we'll talk a little bit more about that as the show goes on here. But, yeah, so that'll be interesting. So why don't we talk about that first? So basically, what did you do in the article, if anybody who's listening didn't read it?
Basically, the WRC Plus is a nice stat category because it's not – I mean, WAR takes in offensive, defense, and offensive WAR is kind of hard to differentiate between. But the way that runs created is a nice thing. It was initiated years and years and years ago, but it's been kind of coming more into play. And it's just how many runs you create, whether it's scoring or – knocking guys in, and it's like it's a really good metric as far as seeing a guy's offensive value. And then the nice thing about the plus being added on the end is that it takes away the ballpark effect. So, you know, even if you play for Colorado, it kind of levels the playing field for the guys who are playing in pitcher's ballparks. So it was just a way, and I wanted to use not just the WRC plus, but I tried to go for the last calendar year because, you know, it's hard to just say that somebody's an all-star because they had a hot month. And, you know, as much as I like what Brock Holt has done this year, I find it hard to believe that he's an all-star over somebody like Brian Dozier. So, you know, it's just a nice true measure. And I think it's nice that you go back to the last calendar year too, when you try and decide these things. Recency bias comes in way too much.
What, Greg, we need an all-star here in Boston, all right? So, lay off, will you? Brock Holt's a very good
player. I told you, I like
Brock
Holt. He's a hustler. I'm all for him, but I just can't defend him over Brian Dozier. I mean, there's no way Dozier should have to try and get outvoted with Moustakas when you know the Kansas City fans are going to stuff the ballot.
Yeah, I know. That's pure brutal.
There's precedence. Why would they put a Royal in there?
I know, after all the outcry they've gotten about everything that's been going on with this voting, it's nuts. But not that I wish anything ill on Alex Gordon, but it at least, you know, squelches the fire a little bit there with one less Royal in the All-Star game. Although Alex Gordon is probably the Royal that is most deserving of that spot. So
yeah, I was going to say, he's the most deserving of the group, so yeah,
it's too bad. All right, so who'd you have in the infield, Greg, with using WRC Plus?
Well, I mean, it's unfair because Buster Posey is just leaps and bounds, but the funny thing is one of the guys I lauded in the preseason, and you were even a little impatient with earlier in the year, number two in WRC Plus is Yasmani Grandal. That's really turned out to be a steal for the Dodgers. If he wasn't in the National League, he should be a starter, but he's had a really good – over the last calendar year, Yasmani Grandal has 22 home runs, 66 RBIs, and batting .260. I mean, for a catcher, that's pretty damn good. So, I like, you know, in the American League, he came out to Russell Martin was the highest-graded catcher with the WRC over the last year. Here's another interesting little tidbit from the catchers. My boy Stephen Vogt has as many home runs over the last calendar year as Evan Gattis.
Wow.
And more RBIs.
I see Stephen Vogt there, and I know if it was a dictatorship for voting for the All-Star game, you'd be voting Stephen Vogt, no doubt, right?
Oh, I did my 35 ballots for Vogt on there, absolutely.
Nice. All right, who do you got first?
First base, I mean, that's another kind of a gimme because, you know, it's even with his injury last year, Goldschmidt was number one in the WRC plus. You know, in the metrics, 160 is supposed to be like excellent. He's at 180. And again, another National League guy in second place, another surprise. You know, people were really skeptical about Rizzo being taken in some early drafts in the first round, but Anthony Rizzo in the last year, he's number two in the WRC plus at first base, tied with Miguel Cabrera. So, you know, the reach for Rizzo thing really wasn't out of hand. And over the last 365 days, Rizzo has 31 home runs and 15 stolen bases while hitting .297. And I don't think people realize how good he's been. And the stolen bases are just an added, you know, just an added bonus to all of that. I was surprised in the American League, even in spite of his low power, Jose Abreu was second to Miguel Cabrera. So, you know, we know Mickey's number one in the AL, but that was a shock to me. The other surprises was Adam Lynn over the last year. He in the WRC plus with 17 home runs, 65 RBIs. He's got as many home runs over the last calendar year as Freddie Freeman.
Well,
but with your ADP look, they're taken way different.
Right. No. Yeah. You're absolutely right. Another guy. You know, the thing about him is he's just mashing lefties now, which is awesome. You know, he has no platoon split anymore. But the interesting thing to me here is Joey Votto, only with 81 games, he's at 144 WRC plus. That's kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm. You know, and he's going through a bit of a slump right now, so I don't know if something's bothering him. But, I mean, he seemed to break out of it. He had a nice game against Scherzer the other day, so maybe he's on the way back up. So he's another guy that could be an interesting ad if you can get him on. If an owner's frustrated with him right now, get him and see if you can get something out of him in the first half, almost like the sell high, buy low, sell Pujols and buy Votto, and then you get two great halves.
Good point. Look how far down that list everyone on Canacion is, too, as well. Interesting.
Yeah, it's really a surprise. I mean, he's down there with Ike Davis. He's behind Brandon Belt in WRC+. So, I mean, you know, it might be time to adjust. And I was wrong on Carlos Santana. I really thought he was going to break out playing first base full time. But I guess it's time to just accept the fact that this is who he is. He's a 25 home run hitter and with low average. And it's just not that was an outlier when he hit that .270 at first base last year. And it stinks.
Yeah, clearly Santana's a guy I was big on coming into the season too, and you know, that low batting average from last year looked kind of fluky to me, but kind of it's looking the other way now. On to second base, look at Joe Panik up there at the top. At the top with Brian Dozier and Neil Walker tied three-way tie at 125. What do you think about Panik, Greg?
That's a shocker, but you know, he's kind of underrated and stable. I think he's better in deeper leagues. Because he gives you nice batting average, but the counting stats he gets runs, but he doesn't get home runs or stolen bases. It'd be better if he was, like, good in one and not the other. Like, if he was a 15 home run and 3 stolen base guy, that'd be a little better than, I mean, after 141 games, he's got 7 home runs, 3 stolen bases. So, you know, he's just, like, a solid, steady guy, but, you know, in this metric, he was, like, the one guy that kind of blew the system because I was like, crap, what the hell's Joe Panik doing up there? But, you know, he's a good ball player. I think he's a better real-life player than fantasy. And he's one of the guys that kind of poked a hole into the WRC+. But, you know, he gets runs in. I mean, he bats second in the Giants lineup, and, you know, he scores runs, and he does knock them in at a decent clip. So, you know, but Brian Dozier being right there, I mean, over the last year, 24 home runs, 13 stolen bases, And you're going to take that with a .255 average, but the guy just produces. And, you know, I think he was very underrated even still this year. I think people were kind of raising their nose when people were taking him in drafts, and they were like, oh, you're the one that's going to take Dozier. But right now it's looking pretty good.
Yeah, I was on board with Dozier coming into the year, and I'm glad I was. We're going to see a big correction in his ADP numbers moving into next year. And maybe a little bit too much for somebody at second base who hits in a ballpark as kind of crappy for power as Minnesota. The interesting thing here, look at G. Gordon all the way down at 16th. That's kind of wild with all the speed and the stolen bases. But, you know,
doesn't produce runs.
Right.
Because this metric does rely on RBIs. He doesn't knock people in. So that kind of decreases his value. It was funny you said that because I was just going to say, you know, as much as the player rater boosts stolen bases, the WRC plus kind of depresses him. So, you know, you've got to take each metric for what it's worth, but, yeah, definitely.
It's just
so he's
wild
been
to
very,
see
very good.
Oh, yeah, he has, and he's back to his hot-hitting ways again here now, but it's just interesting to see D. Gordon down on the list, down with Johnny Giavitella and Ryan Flaherty, Brandon Phillips guys, so that's an interesting one to kind of see in the wild. At shortstop, third base, rather, there's another surprise up there at the top, Greg. Justin Turner at WRC Plus of 176. Over Manny Machado, over Josh Donaldson, over Todd Frazier, over Anthony Rendon, Arenado. That's a wild one, too, Greg.
Not just over by 25. He's only WRC Plus is 4 points below Paul Goldschmidt.
Yeah, that's a smoke show. That's what that is. He's 26 points ahead of Manny Machado there in second place. That's wild.
And of course, in all the ironies, because we love to kick dirt on the Mets, gave up on him.
That's right. Oh, man, poor Mets. And then the surprise here to me, look at Evan Longoria, 16, below Yunel Escobar. Ugh.
Well, you know, I know you and I were both on the stay away from Longoria. I don't have any of them. Actually, him and Kyle Seager down there. Kyle Seager down there is kind of depressing. Same thing, Seager. I think it's just, you know, I had my expectations a little too high with his batting average and RBIs. Same deal. It's time to accept that Seager is just a 23 home run guy that'll drive in 75 to 80, and he's going to bat about 260. You know that there's no upside with him, but there's safety in his floor. But you know, going after him, I think Arenado will be climbing the list as this goes forward. You know, Chris Bryant being up there, I'm impressed by Manny Machado being second. You know,
yeah.
You know, and that's only in 110 games. So in his last 110 games, 23 home runs, 62 RBIs, and 13 stolen bases. I think if people don't believe in what he's doing this year or next year, he could be another guy kind of like Dozier possibly that people are kind of like, well, maybe he'll do it again. But I think he's a second-round draft pick next year.
Minus the stolen bases, you're looking at Adrian Beltre right there, 313 batting average. I mean, it's only 110 games. Just supposed to show you how good Machado has been this year to make up for, you know, the lost time out of last year. But, you're looking at next Adrian Beltre right there, it looks like. And you're looking at Adrian Beltre. He's last on this list right below.
I kind of included it just so he could be in there. I just wanted people to see what he's like. I don't want people to be looking at the list and going, where the hell is Beltre? So I added him. I usually try to do the top 20, but I popped him in there just so people could see that, you know, taking Adrian Beltre in the third round of your drafts is that makes you a dinosaur.
Yeah. I don't want to talk about Pablo Sandoval, so we're going to move on. So at shortstop, not really that big of a surprise here to me anyway, and Johnny Peralta's up with 125 WRC plus. You're not so surprised by that, I assume, either, right?
No, I wasn't surprised. You know, I was a little skeptical at first when the Cardinals signed him, but, you know, the power came back and he proved that the one bad year was the bad year and he was the Peralta before that. So that was a pretty calculated gamble by the Cardinals that worked out. Brandon Crawford being fourth is interesting because I think people, even now, he had a bit of a slump a little bit back, but you know, I think it's time for people to recognize that Crawford's a little better than we're giving him credit for.
Yeah, and then, you know, the same old crews up there at the top, Hanley Ramirez, Tulowitzki, Brad Miller at five is kind of surprising.
That was a shock, too. You know, same thing. I think you have to understand he's not going to hit for a high average, but he gets home runs and he gets stolen bases, even though he's a little bit maligned and his defense suffers at times. But, you know, Xander Bogaerts, I think, is another one that's on the way up this list. Look at Desmond all the way down at 17.
Yeah, I was just going to say that,
He was 0 for 18 last week.
Ugh. This is the first year I bought into it, too. It's so sad. So sad. The Desmond being that far down the list, just, I mean, again, it tells you how bad he's been this year because he had a good season last year. But
I might be dropping him in a head-to-head league. I can play Sanoa shortstop. I might just flush him. I don't care anymore. Somebody else hits on him on the second half, they can have it.
Desmond or Cesar Hernandez or SOA?
What's that?
Desmond or Cesar Hernandez the rest of the way?
I'd rather take the chance on Hernandez. He's hitting for average and stealing bases. At least I know what he's doing. Desmond's just, he looks lost. And the one telecast I was watching, I remember the announcer saying, he goes, you know, he just doesn't look confident. And he goes, when you don't look confident on the field and you don't look confident at the bat, you're just lost. And he said Desmond looked lost. I forget which former player it was, but it was a direct quote, and I was just like, oh, boy.
Yeah, he's been lost for about 3.5 months now. So, wow, that is wild. And you might be right about the Cesar Hernandez thing. It just goes to show you how far Desmond's fallen. And, you know, we're at the time where you got to start getting production out of those spots. You can't just wait around all season for these guys to wake up, because sometimes they don't. In the outfield, it's Bryce Harper, and it's not that close over Mike Trout. And a couple of surprises there. Josh Reddick at 13,
yeah.
Chris Coughlin at 19, and David Murphy at 20.
Look at those bottom three. Yeah. Those are three platoon guys, Blanco, Coughlin, and Murphy. You know, people on, you know, fan bases every year are like, why aren't we going out and signing this big all-star? But then the some of these, you know, out-of-the-way platoon guys, they get into the little niche. I mean, look at how productive David Murphy is in his platoon role as far as the WRC+. He has .308 against right-handed pitching. You know, he doesn't hit for huge power, but 8 home runs, 40 RBIs. I mean, same thing. He's not great for fantasy baseball, but in real baseball, he's quality, especially when you pair him with Ryan Rayburn, who mashes lefties. So, you know, the Indians have a very underrated little platoon system they have going there. Denard Span being on that list, he's 15th ahead of Yasiel Puig. You know, look at that number. Yasiel Puig, over the last calendar year, 102 games, 7 home runs, 4 stolen bases.
I know, 4 steals. Yeah.
I mean, what
is
he giving you? I mean, people were taking him in the 3rd or 4th round this year.
Well,
do you think Yasiel Puig needs a trade? Because I do. I honestly think he needs a new home.
Yeah, LA is no good for him. It's not working out there.
He needs like a Carlos Gomez thing. He needs to go to some place like Milwaukee where it's kind of quiet and he can just play in a little bit better ballpark and just be Yasiel Puig and not have to worry about being in the middle of the national media every day. You know, I think that would be something that would really benefit him.
And being without Don Mattingly might be a change for him.
That's a strained relationship because you can, you know, I read the one article and they're talking about him and Greinke almost got into a fight and the players on the Dodgers are tired of his act and things. I mean, when you have a team kind of against a player and then you're in a slump and you're trying to, I mean, it's like everything that could be going against Puig is, I mean, he's fought some injuries. He hasn't been able to do what he did when he first started, you know, and then his manager's saying that he needs a better approach. His teammates, he doesn't get along with his teammates. I mean, he's almost in isolation out there.
Yeah. Yeah, no, and it looks like that. Another Dodger here, Jock Peterson, that's impressive. He's number 11 on this list, and he's only, you know, just this season. I mean,
yeah.
Just,
I don't know. It's
crazy.
And it's funny, though. It's like to see. Where's the stolen bases?
Yeah, well, he's hitting the ball over the wall every time.
I understand that, but, man, he was 30-30 guy last year, 2 stolen bases. You know, even last year when Springer didn't steal a lot of bases last year either, so maybe it takes a year to adjust to the majors. But Springer also had the knee problems before he was shut down, but it was interesting. And then my boy Springer, 16th, only 82 games played. 16 home runs, 14 stolen bases.
If you give Springer the same amount of games as Mike Trout has, Springer's in the top 5. So, you know,
He's got to stay healthy.
Yeah.
You know, him and Stanton next year are going to be interesting in drafts because this is 2 years in a row the two of them have gone out on injury, whether it's bad luck or whatever you want to do it. But, you know, fantasy people start to get a little itchy. So I'm curious to see when the first ADPs come out where Stanton is and where Springer is in relation to where they could be. And then look at J.D. Martinez, 7, and Starling Marte, 8. You know, Marte, over the last year, 21 home runs, 25 stolen bases.
Yeah, Marte's been big. And J.D. Martinez, I was dead wrong on him.
No, you weren't. You were right about his average coming down. I don't think anybody's probably using to do the power thing again. And, you know, true or false, J.D. Martinez is a second-round draft pick next year.
Yeah, still not for me. But
really, you're going false?
Yeah.
His hard contact percentage is...
I know.
It's the same, and his home run for fly ball has actually improved this year.
Yeah.
I mean, he's hit 35 home runs over the last 155 games.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I'm with you, but I don't know. It's like I'm stubborn, I think. I think when it comes to J.D. Martinez, because I just don't want to believe it. But he's still hitting 290. What's he hitting? Is he hitting, like, I don't think he's hitting 260, is he? Isn't he hitting all right?
Not this year. Well, no, this year his average has gone up on his last hot streak, but he's been just blazing. But even if he's a even if he's a 265 hitter, if he's hitting 35 home runs, that can have value.
Right.
At a time of depressed power,
yeah.
I don't know. I think I'd be willing to take him next year.
Okay, well, I'm gonna let you have him next year just because I'm a little stubborn on it. But this is a good list, and we could talk about this list all day. This is good. I like this because you've got a nice mix of players there, too. So, all right, let's hit the pitchers here for a minute.
I didn't do the pitchers. So
you did
your ADP.
Okay. All right.
WRC plus for pitchers, so I only did the hitting side.
That's right. Well, anyway, Prince Fielder and A-Rod are up there for DHs. Is A-Rod an all-star to you this year? Or do you think he rightfully got snubbed?
Well, see, this is over the last 365 days, but just this year, A-Rod actually came in third to Fielder and Cruz. So as good of a year as A-Rod had, the other two guys are still having a better year with WRC+. So he just missed. The only way he was in a game was with the vote. You knew baseball wasn't going to put him in there.
Yeah, I know. It would have been cool to see, though. I mean, I'm going to watch the game anyway, but, you know, it would just be an added little bonus to me anyway. I think A-Rod, even though the steroid thing is a hot topic, you know, I think that the comeback, the things he's doing this year after missing a year is just remarkable. And to me, it's almost enough to kind of say, you know what, forgive and forget kind of thing, because what you're doing right now is unprecedented, and it's just nuts. You know, come back after missing a year and hit the way he's hit, and, you know, give the Yankees what he's giving them.
That was mine. I projected him to get where he is right now. So I was wrong. I apologize, A-Rod.
All right. So I also didn't. I only spent a couple of minutes on this, and then we'll get into the important DFS talk. I did one an All-Star article about players who were taken in after the top 100 picks, because, you know, who wants a list full of Harpers and Trouts and Miguel Cabreras? And basically, I just looked at ESPN's live draft results and kind of plucked out the guys, you know, taken after the 10th round or so in standard 10-team leagues, and, you know, kind of made a team out of that. And, hey, the team would have done nice. If you had this squad for the first half of the season in your fantasy league, you'd probably be in first place. At catcher, I've got Russell Martin, obviously. He's hitting home runs. He's probably going to hit 20 home runs this year. He's already up to 2.8 WAR, so he's currently fantasy's number two catcher. Lucky enough to get him off the waiver wire in one league, which was awesome, so I'm glad I did. A guy that I am not too big of a fan of, and maybe you can elaborate on this a little more, is Mark Teixeira. I've got him at first base, virtually undrafted in fantasy this year, considering he's been coming off injuries and, you know, really, really poor batting average the past couple of years. But he's already got two more home runs yesterday or today. He's got like 24, 25 in the year. He's up into the preseason RBI. Have you been watching a lot of Teixeira? He's obviously healthy, right?
Yeah, he's always been able to hit home runs. He just, he's healthy this year. So he's going to hope that wrist holds out the rest of the way.
Yeah, and the batting average is not as bad as it's been in the past couple of years, too. So that's, you know, providing some added value there. I kind of went rogue at second base. I took Howie Kendrick. He's been hitting pretty much all over the order, but he has seen a good bulk of time at cleanup for the Dodgers. Doing a little bit of everything, a little power, a little speed. He has a shot to crack 10 steals, hit like 13 or 14 homers, and, go up near the 80 in runs and RBIs, obviously, if he continues to hit cleanup. Third base, it's obviously Manny Machado. We talked about him. His ADP was 100.6, so he's right there for fitting into my list here. So, he's a 2020 guy at least. Could hit 30 home runs this year. He is Adrian Beltre in his prime with more speed. Johnny Peralta's at shortstop. We talked about him. 20 homer, 70 RBI guy. Underappreciated every single year. Great guy to have on your team. Obviously, you got him really, really late. Talked about J.D. Martinez. I've got him in the outfield. Greg's taking him in the second round of fantasy leagues next year. I will still not, but he could hit. Make a run at 40 homers this year. Other guy I've got is Brett Gardner in the outfield, and he hit another home run today. I think that's 10 on the season. He's got like 16 steals. Could get up near 20 homers, 30 steals, doing it all. Very underappreciated. A guy that we've talked about before. You weren't really on Gardner either, were you? Were you kind of like he was just a kind of another guy?
Yeah, I liked him, but I didn't think he would be able to carry over the numbers he did last year, but he proved me wrong.
Yeah, Gardner's proven everybody wrong. So if you've got him, I mean, congratulations. He's a top 10 player in fantasy right now.
Mm-hmm.
Third outfielder is Charlie Blackman, another guy I was wrong about. I'm happy to admit it because he just rakes. Homer, speed, he's improved his plate discipline the whole nine yards. Probably goes 20-30 this year. The top 15 outfielder to me the rest of the way. Kendrys Morales is my all-value DH. He's got 50-something RBI. He's going to drive in close to 100. Real deal for Kendrys Morales. And then for pitchers, I've got Michael Wacha, Chris Archer, and Dallas Keuchel. No surprises there. And then Jurys Familia of the Mets is your closer there, and A.J. Ramos is another guy who I touched upon, and a guy who was undrafted and has just been doing straight work for the Marlins. So there you go. If you traded off all your high-round draft picks and happened to get all these players, you're probably in first place in your Roto League, so congratulations. All right, so let's do some DraftKings talk here. Let me get these guys on the line here really quick. We've got Chris Lacy and Wes Anderson from today's Knuckleball. I'm going to come on and talk a little bit about the scripting for on DraftKings and how that's going to affect you guys moving forward here. So let me get them on the line. Hold on one second. Hey, Chris, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Good. We're going to get Wes on the line. Just give me one second.
Mm-hmm.
Wes, can you hear me?
Yeah, hey, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Good, good. Hey, thanks for having me on what could be a very historical day in DFS history here today with obviously the Yahoo launch and then the scripting controversy here with DraftKings.
Yeah, very, very good. So, like I said, we've got a couple of guys on here who write for the site. We've got Chris Lacy, who pretty much does it all, and Wes Anderson, who is our DFS guy. And if you want to get over on Twitter and follow them, you can follow Chris at AECanada12 and Wes at Wander34. So, Greg and I will give you guys the back seat right here. I guess we'll start with Chris. Want to give us a little bit, tell us a little bit about what's going on with DraftKings there, and we touched upon it in the open, but looks like they're going to be allowing some scripting there on DraftKings, and they changed their terms of service. What do you think that's going to do to affect DFS?
I think it'll help DFS in a way, because from what DraftKings says, they will permit creating a contest, creating a lineup, and you can also edit a lineup and also withdraw a contest by using scripts. So I think it'll make it easier for people to actually manage their daily lineup in the various leagues that they're in fantasy baseball.
Wes, are you of the same thought, or do you think You think it's a little online pokerish?
You know, I'm actually on the opposite side of the table there. I think to those that are smart enough to understand how to use script, I think it's a huge advantage. So it kind of makes it a unlevel playing field, you know, especially for the common guy that plays, not so much the pro that certainly will be able to invest in a good scripting system.
So basically for kind of DFS noobs like myself, what does it actually mean to script or to use a script?
Basically, you're going to let a computer software do your decision-making for you. So, for example, last night, the Washington Nationals and Cincinnati Reds game was canceled
pretty
close to first pitch. If you're not an intense DFS guy where you're watching, you know, everything right up to the beginning, chances are you had Bryce Harper in the lineup and you left him in and you just ate, you know, 15% of your salary cap, which is a large number. Where with the scripting, the software itself would have taken Harper out and given you the next best replacement. So it kind of dehumanizes it in a way.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. So basically what it's doing is you're basically automating the process. So in other words, the game didn't get canceled, is it an algorithm that kind of goes through and decide, does it regulate matchups, or how does it work in that regard?
I think a lot of that is still kind of to be determined. There's always been, you know, kind of the backlog chatter that some of this stuff's already been going on within the industry, but nobody kind of said anything. With now being to the forefront, I think we'll kind of see how powerful it can be, where, you know, they did give you a list of criteria that they're going to supposedly enforce, which if that's the case, it's really not that dangerous except for the lineup changes. But if it can get it to the point where you can optimize based on what your opponents are doing, I just think it's kind of opening up, you know, the Pandora's box in terms of DFS and how far this thing will go, especially when you're talking about this amount of money that's on the line. You know, I mean, a seat in one of these final things is worth, $50,000. If you win, it's worth $1 million. There's a lot of incentive to push the envelope here with this type of idea.
All right, so here I am last night. I'm at dinner with my son, and mm-hmm. I gambled $9 on DraftKings last night. I did the $5 double up. I did the $3 moonshot, the 25 cent, and then like a $1 one. So I sit down and we order dinner and I'm like, all right, let me just check my Twitter for a second. My son's laughing at me because he knows I do this. And then I see the Washington game. I see the Washington game's postponed and it's like 6:58. So I'm sitting there at the dinner table, scrambling around on my lineups. And, you know, I went Goldschmidt over Trout and I'm still kicking myself, but I was able to do it. But, you know, this is, you know, these changes are not for somebody like me. This is for the professional gambler that quits his stock trading job because he's going to go try and make a quick dollar in this. He has a friend that can build an algorithm based upon splits and ballpark effects, you know, and I think it's something where people can, you know, give them a couple of weeks to a month, somebody that has that capability could build that. And then you're going to make money doing it. I mean, if you have something like that and you can do it, you make that software first, you're going to make some cash. So,
now,
you know, a part of me is worried about this, but then a part of me says, you know, the old school scouts say that you have to trust your gut, and if I make a lineup that's good enough, it's still going to be good enough, but it does make me a bit nervous.
Well, here's where I come at it from, because I used to be an online poker player. I mean, not exclusively. I didn't quit my stock trading job or anything like that, Greg. But, you know, you'd worry about, you know, these kinds of things, and you'd worry if, you know, the software was legit, if you were playing against, you know, you were playing against computers that were calculating odds faster than you could do it in your own head and making decisions on the fly like that. So I understand where that concern's coming from, for sure. And, you know, from the scout's perspective, I think it's kind of difficult to beat a computer anyway. I think, you know, if you factor everything in, you know, you're still just a human being. So that kind of thing scares me about it. But is this a DFS-wide thing, or is this just...
Far, which is just on DraftKings that I've seen so far.
Yeah, okay. I'd say FanDuel released a statement today saying that they were going to stay status quo. If you look at, you know, obviously, if you watch a Major League Baseball game, you're bombarded now with FanDuel, DraftKings commercials. They're competing so hard right now, and this really could be the deciding factor on who's going to be the king of the DFS world, really. Because I do think that this will scare some people off. You know, myself, I'm not all up in arms about it. I don't think it's probably not something I'm a big fan of. But I think this could be a swing a little bit. And so I think that's probably why FanDuel took the stand that they did in order to say, hey, look, DraftKings is doing this, but we're not, type of thing.
Yeah. So what's the incentive for DraftKings to kind of change their terms and kind of go down this road? I mean, what do they gain from it?
That's the ultimate question here. Like I said, there's been rumors of this going on before, so now they don't have to worry about trying to regulate it. Maybe, you know, is the founder a technology guy that's got the software in place already? You know, I mean, there's you know, your big conspiracy theorists here can go nuts right now, and we'll just kind of have to see what happens. You know, I don't know if anyone's going to come out with an algorithm that's that great now. This story might not be told until, you know, next year, maybe even the year after, as the system kind of works its kinks out here.
So to kind of quell concern, there could have been people that have been doing this on DraftKings a year ago, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's supposedly it's, you know, obviously against the rules, but again, as we talked earlier, there's a lot of incentive to do it without much repercussions of doing so.
Okay. So, I mean, the other big thing in DFS today is that Yahoo rolled out their daily fantasy game. So, I don't know, have either of you guys tried that out yet, or what makes it different, unique in the space, Chris?
I haven't tried it out yet, but I was surprised Yahoo didn't do it sooner.
Go ahead.
I'm in on it today, and there's two huge things that jump out at you. One is there's a handful of things. Some of it's from the administrative side. If you play lower games, there's some fees that are associated that are not common with the other two. The scoring system is very bizarre. A win for a pitcher is worth 8 points. And as baseball guys, we all know the win is something that the pitcher can't control necessarily. So there's a lot of incentive, I think, to kind of start to play the Vegas line. The biggest thing that I'm finding right now, which is a huge advantage for seasoned DFS guys, is the overlay. Because it's so new, there's not nearly as many people playing, so they might guarantee – let's just say out of a $5,000 or 5,000 person contest, Yahoo is going to guarantee that the first 2,000 spots are going to earn money. Well, only 1,800 people are in, so everybody's win. So there's kind of, if you get in early on it, you're kind of guaranteed to make money right now. Now, obviously, that's going to be a very short-term window as people, you know, jump in here. But if you're looking to grab an early advantage, you know, here it is for you.
That's interesting. Wes, do you think the Yahoo game, on kind of what you've seen out of it in the short time, has staying power within, I think, compete with DraftKings and FanDuel?
I think because Yahoo's had such a foot into the fantasy world for a while, there's going to be people that have ran their, you know, their fantasy football or their fantasy baseball leagues through Yahoo for, two decades now that will be comfortable with Yahoo. You know, the guys that haven't done DFS. You know, if you talk to a person about it, the first thing they say, well, isn't that gambling? Well, isn't that illegal? Well, I've always done this with Yahoo, so I'm fine. You know what I mean? So I think that they're
right.
going to have a chance to kind of grab, again, that common sports fan that isn't looking to leave their job, isn't looking to get rich, but wants to have a little fun, you know, each day. I think that's where their niche is going to be in this market for now. You know, like I said, the scoring system is going to scare some people off. The fees are going to scare some people off. But, again, because Yahoo has been doing this so long, they'll get that stuff fixed, and they'll tweak it. And I think they'll be a staying power for sure.
Yeah, that's interesting that you note that, because that level of trust, I think, is important, you know, especially with people who have been playing on Yahoo for 10 years. And it's interesting, they updated their app. I don't know if you noticed this yet, any of you guys, but they updated their app so that way, you know, the Yahoo Fantasy app, so that way there's a button in the bottom right-hand corner that you can switch back and forth from their daily game to any leagues you may be in their full season game. So it's kind of that thing where, you know, I don't have to download an extra app. I have literally everything I need in this one app. So anytime I grab my phone out of my pocket, I can check to see, you know, how my long-term league, how I did in that league tonight. And then I can flip the switch and I can be over and check. I can check my DFS lineup too. So, that's definitely interesting. And, you know, it's interesting to see some new competition in the space here, but we've got a couple of minutes. Anyone have anything to add on anything really? DFS?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
All right. Let me ask these two gentlemen while I have them on. Could either one of you guys see the Chandler tried to run a thing where he had like monthly leagues. He wanted you to draft a team and then you rode that team out for the month. Could you guys see instead of like a head-to-head league, some sort of a morph where a thing came in where whether it was a month or maybe by half of the year where you would make a daily lineup every day against you and your buddies with the salary cap and then play it out to win. So if you don't want to play against like the algorithm, say the four of us and we get 10 other guys, we're in a 14 team league, we make a lineup every day and then the person at the end of the month wins. Does that sound crazy?
I like that.
Thank you.
You got to find 14 guys that are intense. or actually, I'll be one. And you, the other 13 can be lazy.
we could just go the four of us.
People who play these things every day.
Yeah, we could set up four of us and then have 10 computers on the other side and see if we can beat the computers. That way we'll know if we should be playing on DraftKings anymore or not. Well, guys, I appreciate you guys coming on.
Thanks for having me on.
A quick plug here before we head off. So follow the site at My Knuckleballs. Chris and Wes are up there every day putting content up. DFS, season long, everything from baseball to fantasy baseball to DFS. So give those guys a follow. Wes is at Wander34. Chris is at AECanada12. Greg is at GJewett9. I am at TKing978. And we will be back next Thursday, 8 o'clock, as usual, and we will talk about some trade deadline stuff going on in baseball, how that will affect your fantasy team. So appreciate you listening. Enjoy the weekend, guys. Everybody, thanks for coming on.
Thanks for coming on, guys.
Thanks. No problem.
Thanks again for having me.